Hello, good people, and welcome to the Alchemy of Light broadcast. Today is a beautiful day. It is Saturday, the 26th day of the seventh lunation in the year of healing and gratitude. And we are also celebrating the summer of gratitude because it is such a gift to be alive. In the Gregorian calendar, it is July the 14th. And I want to welcome you all to this debut of the Alchemy of Light 2, the Alchemy of Light double hour broadcast. And it couldn't be more appropriate and more of a gift to all that to bring to light. In this honor is a special guest, Michael J. Murphy, who is an extraordinary human who has walked into his calling, bringing to light all of us very much appreciated and needed information about the chemtrails. This is the name that we've been working with that describes the phenomena happening in our skies, these most unusual streams that turn into splotches and spreads and create white places in the sky where it used to be blue. And he has co-produced a movie called What in the World Are They Spraying that went out a couple of years ago that has brought to light so much information to millions of people to help us all realize that this actually is happening, folks. There really is actually a program in the sky that is raining down poison and such heavy metals and these sorts of things on all life here on planet Earth. And he has just completed the sequel, Why in the World Are They Spraying? Because the question, of course, is why would anybody want to spray anything that would do harm to any life at all, ever? This is a phenomenon that we, as human beings who would not imagine these things, grapple with instinctively. So, without further ado, will you all give a warm welcome, please? Michael J. Murphy, welcome.
Oh, thank you for having me on, Jamil. It's great to be back on. And you're right, we just finished the production of Why in the World Are They Spraying? And the response from those who have had a chance to see the beginning has been really good. They said we really feel like we're going to have a greater impact than the first film, which probably it's been estimated to have been seen by over 10 million people. So the movement's building. People are becoming aware of this. And we address effective solutions to get these programs stopped. And I'm very confident that we will. So really appreciate like yourself covering this and then people, you know, getting becoming aware of what's going on. And that's how we're going to start the process of restoration, restoring our fragile Earth that is really being molested right now. But we're working and we will get it stopped.
Hear, hear. And, you know, this is really key, the importance of learning, of educating ourselves about what we are doing, what we are dealing with, is really important in the restoration process, because in learning about what it is that's being sprayed, learning about the methodologies that are being used, it allows us to focus our energy much more efficiently in creating the resolution and in recreating our Earth even better than it has been, because our thoughtful intention, our love, is the key ingredient here. And without an education about what we're dealing with, we're just kind of shooting in the dark, you know? So, again, thank you for this. Now, let's just go right into what you've discovered in the movie, Why in the World Are They Spraying? And continue the focus of how we can address this in a very productive, positive, proactive way. Because the overwhelm is inherent. It is overwhelming. The idea that these programs are even happening to the most people, and myself included in this, until I educated myself, is just daunting. You know, we don't think about things like that, but there they are. I mean, today we have a beautiful day of chemtrails in our skies. And okay, folks, so what are we dealing with? Why are they doing this? And how can we address this and stop it?
Yeah, good question. And, God, it could say that was a very long question. But what in the world are they spraying? Our goal was really to prove, A, that we are being sprayed, and B, that these programs are a threat to both human health and ecology. And based on what we found, there's no greater threat to our planet. So we found many different things in terms of ecological human health destruction that's going on, aluminum-related illnesses such as Alzheimer's, ADD, heavy metal toxicity. They're all going through the roof, and it destroys our soils, and not to mention our ozone layer. So every time they spray, which is on now on a daily basis, they're destroying the productive and protective layer of our planet. Many people now are aware when they go outside in the sun, they burn within, you know, a couple of hours. I used to be able to stay out in the sun all day. I can't do it anymore, and that's because they are literally shredding our ozone. But what we found, as you probably know, one of the primary ingredients in geoengineering programs, that's the scientific name for the chemtrail issue, is aluminum oxide, barium, and strontium. And again, those are very devastating to our plants. But geoengineers are selling this, these programs to the public as something that they want to do for the mitigation of global warming. The model suggests that putting aerosols, 10 to 20 million tons of toxic aluminum oxide, into our skies will actually reflect the sun and thus cool the planet. And those models do temporarily, regionally block the sun. It will reflect some of that sunlight back into space. However, at night now, a number of studies, including NASA studies, which we included in Why in the World Are They Spraying, now indicate that they will warm the planet, because at night, again, they act as a blanket and they trap heat. So what truly is the reason for these damaging programs? And I started out, October at an aerosol research conference, and I learned some very interesting things. And again, these aerosols in the sky do affect our weather. And after they're sprayed, they act as what's called cloud condensation nuclei. So when those fine metal particulates are in our atmosphere, they will, the moisture will adhere to that particulate, and it will not rain. That is now why we're seeing massive drought all around the world, because we have a very large amount of aerosols in our sky. And again, geoengineers are very open about the unintended consequences and risks. That includes global drought, which we're now having. It includes altered weather patterns, which we are having. It includes ozone depletion. NOAA just reported on a huge ozone hole, both in the northern and southern hemisphere. I could go on and on and on. So all of these consequences are currently happening. But through the use of this technology, it's just aerosols, which cloud seeding has been an effect, you know, and even as far back as the 1800s, when they learned that putting aerosols into our atmosphere could affect weather patterns, the way the clouds condense and change. So, with that being said, aluminum oxide now, which is being found in rain tests all around the world, rain tests are a very effective indicator of atmospheric conditions and atmospheric contamination. And again, people, hundreds of people from around the world have been testing. They've all been finding this chemtrail geoengineering footprint. That footprint matches what geoengineers deny they're spraying in our sky, but say that they want to spray in our sky. And it matches a number of geoengineering patents that have been designed to spray those aerosols from airplanes into our sky. Now we have an issue called global dimming. We 20% sunlight, less sunlight reached the Earth than we did just several decades ago. And again, that's because our skies are literally laden with these chemicals on a daily basis, and plants require photosynthesis and a number of other things that our sun provides. And they're simply not getting it. But getting back to the aluminum part, aluminum, while it's not a very effective conductor, let's say in your house, it's a very effective conductor in the sky. And what we've learned through various technologies, such as the HARP technology, they can actually, after spraying that aluminum, they can heat it up. Very similar to putting like a cup of coffee in your microwave. When they heat it up, it warms, and a warming atmosphere rises and literally creates a low-pressure vacuum, and that enables entities to steer storms into certain areas. So it's very typical to see, before rainstorms, you see very heavy trailing, about 72 to 24 hours. You know, when you see that heavy canopy of aerosols, and those are the days when many people complain of headache, burning eyes, irritability, nausea, difficulty breathing, dry mouth. Many of the chemicals they're spraying are desiccants. So when you feel that way, look up and notice to see if there are aerosols in the sky. But again, you can expect a storm to come in. I don't watch the news, maybe not watch weather reports, but I've been very effective at predicting rain because of the way that the aerosol patterns and the distribution in our sky have been. So unfortunately, you know, when I first heard about this technology and we started talking to experts, we spoke with Dr. Nick Begich. He's a he's an expert. A HARP expert. We spoke with Mark McCandlish. He was a contractor in the defense industry. Some of the old people or people that were in What in the World Are They Spraying, Dane and Francis, Rosalind Peterson, it was part of the program. By the way, I'm going to tag my website. You can find more information, including the trailer at whyintheworldarethespraying.com. Whyintheworldarethespraying.com. The trailer's been very well received, and it's very educational, so you can learn more about this. But we're finding there are many different companies and many different people and many different monetary and political agendas that are met through weather control and the corporatization of the weather.
In the movie, What in the World Are They Spraying, that was also mentioned, and a document was offered, the document that is a military exploration of controlling the weather, and it is called the Owning the Weather, or the full title is Weather as a Force Multiplier, Owning the Weather in 2025. And you can find that on my blog, alchemyoflight.org. You scroll down. Now you can look at that and see a blueprint idea in the idea section of what the military actually had in its mind. And as you just mentioned, the exploration of weather as a tool for a war accommodation goes back to at least the 1800s. And so this is really not new, and it's in plain view what the intention is now unfolding before us. I wonder if you could share a little bit about, this is an exploration of mine too on a very personal level, and so I've become my own scientist. And just in the last 2 days, we've had that very dense white sky. Yesterday was really intense, a lot of sneezing, a lot of eye burning, and this immediately follows a great number of leaves falling from the trees. And there were many leaves in the backyard this morning, and I picked several up. And I have noticed that there's a similarity in all of them, and I wonder if you could share a little bit about the perhaps some of the chemical things or something that happened. But there is a commonality in that the stems that were attached to the trees are a red color. They all have this in common. And some of them have this red color in the veins, red color right up the middle and pouring into the plant. And some of them have red splotches. And this is not the first time I've noticed this. This is actually a pattern where these dense white coverings and then leaves fall in droves. And this is summer. They're not supposed to fall yet. And so is there a particular chemical that does just that? You mentioned defoliant. Is it that in the whole mix, the defoliant itself, which one is that, or is that all of them?
Well, what we do know is the primary ingredients in geoengineering programs toxify the planet from top to bottom, period. Change our soil pH. We've seen soil pHs around the world change anywhere between 10 to 20 times more alkaline than they were just about 7 or 8 years ago. These are profound changes. So plant life that requires an acidic soil to to grow will start to die. That's exactly what we're seeing. And most root systems in plants and trees have a system that will shut down when bioavailable aluminum is introduced into it. And I think it's important to note, aluminum is one of the most abundant metals in the Earth's crust, but when it's in free form, such as what geoengineers are spraying, that's what makes it very toxic because it's not bound to other elements. So when it is introduced, the plants will shut down the root system and we'll begin to see a very slow death. So once, it's like human beings, you know, just like animals, when their immune system is weakened, then other diseases will come, other infections will come in. One known problem of geoengineering programs is the overgrowth of fungus. We have seen many plant-related deaths and even many crops, which we covered in film, that failed as a result of overgrowth of fungus. And again, when these programs are deployed, the sunlight that needs to reach the earth is not. So it literally throws everything out of balance. So again, there are a number of things that can come in attack a tree or a plant after it's weakened, but without question, these programs from top to bottom are destroying and weakening our plants. Owning the weather by 2025, you know, we looked into that a little bit deeper, and the President's Advisory Committee, I believe it was back in 1962, stated that weather could be a more important weapon than the atomic bomb. And we know for sure aerosols are required to corporatize and control our weather. They're a very important part of this entire plan. So like you were saying, it does. It gives militaries a certain strategic advantage in the battlefield. And now the U.S. has its all-weather, airplanes that can fly in any weather condition. And if you remember back in Desert Storm, you know, I remember people saying, wow, you know, God's really on the side of the Americans because he brought this incredible sandstorm against the Iraqis. Well, guess what? The U.S. government has this technology. It's been very open. Another thing, Jamil, that we're seeing now is snow in the upper 40s, sometimes pushed into the 50s. And this is just was unheard of. You know, when we were younger, it didn't snow much above 32 degrees. That's when water freezes, correct? So now we're seeing this very heavy snow during times of late spring, even early fall, when there are leaves on the trees and it's breaking branches and it's really throwing off our ecosystem. And there is a patent called, NASA owns this patent, and it's called ice nucleation for weather modification. And as preposterous as it sounds, all you have to do is look up Chinese create artificial snowstorm. And they were very open about this until they did over $1 billion worth of damage, and then they started to keep their mouth shut about what they did. But this is very well documented. So weather control, again, is nothing new, but now it is at full-scale deployment. And, you know, geoengineer David Keith, he made a rather disturbing comment about 2 years ago. He said, geoengineering gives man godlike power, and if you control the weather, you can literally control every natural system, every political system, and every food supply, thus controlling the world. And that's what's happening.
Well, you know, and this is a good place to perhaps insert some understanding about what God could possibly be, because I wonder if this is where we can explore what a human is and why would a human, there are two parts to this, okay, I'll be more succinct in my question. The question is about how a human is being manipulated by the what? Why would the human be doing this to itself? And what is God? okay? We say controlling the weather is God, but is the one who controls the weather the actual ultimate power in this?
Well, let's explore that. Maybe I could share a story. When we first went to film What in the World Are They Spring, we went out to this organic farm in Maui, and it was in the middle of the rainforest, and it was really, you know, it was a beautiful drive up there. We got up there kind of in the evening. We had dinner, and it was just incredible. And we woke up the next morning, and I was hungry, and I said, you know, coming from the city, I said to some folks, I said, hey, you know, I'm a little hungry. It's a store. You know, I got to get some food. They all kind of looked at me and started laughing, and I'm like, what are you laughing at? And they said, well, look around. And I said, I don't see a store. And they started laughing again. They said, no, look around. There's food around you. Just pick something off of a tree. And it was really, it was epiphany for me, because they, the lifestyle that they live, they're primarily dependent on the trees and that grow and provide food on their land. They grow their own food. And I really believe that that is part of what God is. You know, it's this nature. It's these natural seeds that regenerate, that are dependent on natural rain and sunshine. And I really don't think that we're meant to work so that we could go to the store and get our food that way. I believe that nature provides everything. And what the concern for many people, including the farmers, which now have seen an incredible decline in all of their yields due to the adverse weather conditions, that natural organic foods will not grow. So the lifestyle there is definitely threatened. I interviewed several farmers, two which we included in the film. One has seen a 60% decline. This is a certified organic farmer in the past 10 years. The other has seen a 70% decline in their ability to get yields. So what these programs do, again, they sterilize our soils. As a result, farmers are not able to get the yields that they used to. And many of them are forced to either go out of business or go into these Monsanto genetically modified seeds. So we do know this. Geoengineers state that their programs will create droughts in Africa and Asia. And we do know that geoengineering can and is being used to control our weather. Why would a country in Africa that has wonderful food supply, wants to remain independent and sovereign, growing their own food, go to genetically modified seeds? There's no way that they would do that. These programs enable companies like Monsanto to go in, because what they're doing right now is creating droughts in Africa. And people are starving. Farmers can't get their yields. But Monsanto has patented a stress-resistant seed, a seed that will grow in soils that are contaminated by heavy metals, and a seed that will grow in drought conditions. So they go in, they say, we have the solution for you. You have to buy our seed. And what it does, it enslaves these farmers, because many of the seeds do not regenerate. So they have to go back year after year after to Monsanto. And it's a complete usurping of our Creator's authority and bringing it under corporate authority so that these entities can have this godlike power, that they can be worshipped. If you control the weather, you can control every natural system on the planet. It's that simple, and that's what's happening through these programs. So it's very this is the end game of these entities, and this is their plan to completely control every natural system, everything on the planet. And that's why it's so important to be able not to address this in fear. You know, some of the stuff, I've seen people address this in fear. I've seen them address it in anger. But I think when we address it in a place of faith, from a place of love, we have a very powerful effect. And I address this with faith. Yeah. You know, I wake up every day and I say, wow, we have a great challenge on our hands. But we are the ones that have been called. This is the biggest crime that this planet has seen. We are the ones that are called to address it. And we have an incredible opportunity ahead of us. And I believe that collectively, as human beings, as humanity, that when we stand up and address this, and that's what's happening, millions of people are addressing it. We have ordinances around the world being established. This movement is growing quicker than any movement that I've seen. We will put an end to this. We will restore our planet, and that gives me great hope for the future. It really does.
Absolutely. I completely share all that you're saying, and I love that story of waking up and being guided to the good earth, you know, and the abundance that is provided for each and every living being here, that each and every living being has a promise from the creation of its sustenance, and that is not in the ethical conversation of the universe to be tampered with by any being. And I feel that in our humanity, we know that, in our instinctive knowing, we know that. Those are things we don't need to be told, you know. Somehow inside of us, we know that starving people doesn't feel good, right? We just know that there is enough somehow. And I totally shared that, you know, only in love and knowing the power that each and every one of us has and coming forward to bring that out in each and every one of us, because no one person could ever do anything by themselves. It's just not possible. It's if we were meant to do it all by ourselves, we would have been born on a planet all by ourselves. But we are all here together, and that is our celebration. And will you share with us some of the movements in the political system that you are aware of? I'm aware that in New York they had a referendum, they had a hearing, but then it kind of disappeared. You know, these things, and I remember from your teacher there was something going on in Maui. There's definitely been these little blurbs, and they're a little hard to keep track of because, you know, they're not so publicized, but they do come up. And I wonder if you have a better reference point for some of these movements on the ground that are actually actively going to these governments and going to make a statement about their concern about this. Are you familiar with particular hotspots or campaigns going on now?
There are campaigns virtually in every state and in every country now. The first film was a very effective tool. We encourage people who purchase DVDs to copy and hand out for free. So many people did go to their elected officials. Now, I do want to say our members of Congress and many members of our are completely bought and paid for, and they are controlled by the very corporations that profit and benefit from these damaging programs. So we found that at the county level, it's a very effective place to go. When I started producing the next film, Why in the World Are They Spraying, I didn't mean for it to be a lead-in film. I said, you know, the film will just be a supplemental film. I still want people to lead in with the first. But the response that we have had is that this needs to be the leading film. People are saying it's much, much better. It's much more effective. So we think it'll be a greater tool for activism. So I want to encourage everyone to go to whyintheworldarethespraying.com. Learn more about the film, check out the trailer, and again, purchase the DVD, because we encourage people to make copies and hand out for free. So people have brought this out on the streets. I have started the Los Angeles Chemtrails meetup group. We hit the streets, hand out DVDs, hand out flyers, educate the public about these crimes. We go to town hall meetings. We have visited many of our state representatives. I've had a number of state senators now call me asking for information about how to put together a bill. So it's just incredible. But here's the issue. While millions are waking up, there's still a large portion of our population who is unaware about these programs. People know something's changing. People are seeing that their trees are not growing, their gardens are not growing, but many people have not made the connection. And that's why it's essential for us to get out into the public, just handing out DVDs, and address this in a real prudent way. And when we come from that place of love that we were talking about, we see mountains move. So I want to talk about the prudency of addressing this. But again, getting out into the public. Public awareness is essential in getting any political movement and getting any law passed. When the politicians listen when the people demand. And we started a campaign in Maui. I retreat back to Maui to get my rest and to do a lot of work. But I targeted that area because it's a very small area. So we did many street campaigns. We screened the first film a number of times. And we had a closed-door meeting with the mayor's office, who were totally oblivious to this issue. But the people got behind it. And now I would say over 80% of that island is aware of what's happening, and they want change. So as a result, the mayor's office listened to us, and they became concerned. And we have what's called the Maui Clean Sky Ordinance, which right now made it through, I believe, its second or third stage of getting the law passed and active. And we'll keep you updated on that, but information can be found on MauiSkyWatch.org about that bill. And I know Cindy of Long Island SkyWatch has been very effective, and they're pushing forward with the bill, but sometimes it takes a while to get established. The concern that I think geoengineers have is they are seeing that people are starting to get active in establishing these bills, so they are now calling for emergency wartime geoengineering, and they're referencing the methane expulsion that's happening, stating that if they don't legally spray the planet very quickly, we will all die. But, you know, I think it's in response to mass weaponing. Right now, these programs are illegal, and the counties that take a stand developing these ordinances, they will have one heck of a legal problem when they try to move forward with their legislation. So they're pushing very, very hard and very, very quickly, again, to make these illegal programs legal. So that's why it's so important for us to, A, get knowledgeable about this, but, B, get active in addressing this. It's literally a race for time. And I can assure you, this is the future of humanity, of your family. If you love the Earth, this is the environmental issue. Again, there, short of nuclear fallout, there's been no greater threat to our planet, but we hold the power, Jamil. We hold the power, and it's very simple. We have this power of truth. We just have to exercise our authority, and that comes from the power of the spoken word. And when we do that, we move mountains, and that's what we need to do. We need to organize this.
Thank you. Absolutely. And there are also, in my experience with activism, I call myself an everyday activist, and I really look for opportunities in conversation to just kind of put it into the conversation in commonality, you know, at the bank. Oh, well, it's hot and it's this. And I was like, yeah, we are in a drought. Here in New England, the word drought isn't really in the consciousness. And I know it's a drought because I can feel drought. I know what a drought feels like from my childhood spent in California. And we have had very, very little rainfall in the last year. So I feel like in exercising my voice in a loving way and just to insert an idea, it doesn't have to go home. The person doesn't have to go and get all those chemtrails and all that, but just to plant the seed that something feels a little funny, I feel that also makes a difference, because what I found is that the fear factor in this is so intense. And believe me, I learned this over 10 years of talking to people about this. But I've learned that little things can go a long way, just little comments and just things like, oh, how's the sky today? Today is full of chemtrails. No big deal. Like, it is a big deal, but not in alarm. Just matter of fact. Today, this is what it is, period. Just let that hang and let that be absorbed at whatever the pace is that of the person I'm talking to, because I love these people, and that, you know, this has been really an interesting learning growth for me and maybe other people out there who are tempted but know full well when they're talking to somebody that they love a lot and they care about that relationship and they don't really want to be drop kicked and, you know, all that, which is reasonable. But the people that love us the most, I've found, really want to know what's going on. And maybe they don't agree with me or they don't understand it, but I have really learned by and by that a little bit at a time is a lot. You know, just to mention it is a lot, and our power grows exponentially. I can't tell you what a thrill it is now to have some of the people that I really was very awkward with have the courage to come to me and say, Jamil, what is going on in the sky? You know about this. That is such a thrill, and I'm so happy that I can say, go watch this movie. We can do this. We can really do this. And when we're talking about, we have this ominous, incredible degree of bizarre, I mean, corruption. The White House has turned black, and if it ever was white is another conversation. But I feel like another thing, a big part of it, is that so many people have this complete despair about our government situation, which isn't reflective of what's true in our heart. So I am with you 100% on that. Please perhaps elaborate a little bit about what the weather modification, could you tell us a little bit more about the weather modification technologies being used and the why in the world trailer? Somebody mentioned scalar, ionic, and Oregon. And a lot of these things are not technologies we can actually see. We see the chemtrails and the white skies, but the harp waves, and what is ionic and what is Oregon? Can you clarify for us a little bit more about some of these aspects?
Well, what we covered in the film was primarily harp. There are a number of different technologies that can be used in conjunction with the aerosols. Harp actually does not require aerosols to be in the sky, although barium is specifically mentioned in the HARP patent, but it does make it more effective. So in spraying this, HARP is in ionospheric heater. There's other technologies as well that we cover in the film that can and do have the ability to heat up that part of the atmosphere. So again, metal particulate, you can hit it with a microwave and RF frequency. Again, it will start to vibrate. It'll heat up that particulate and create a lifting in the atmosphere. So when the atmosphere lifts, there's literally, it would be like being in a home. In lifting up the roof in one room, you're going to get a suction because air needs to fill that area where it lifts. And that's a way that they're able to steer these storms. But again, through the cloud condensation nuclei, which geoengineers talk about, and we cover it in the new film, Why in the World Are They Spraying Them, talking about how their programs can disrupt the food supply of up to 2 billion people. And they're talking about, you know, these programs will, through weather damage certain areas. How do we deal with this issue of equity when we're damaging people? They're literally playing God. And, you know, who decides, you know, who are the haves and the have-nots? That's something that geoengineers are talking about. Who gets the rain? Who will get the drought? We're going to put this in the hands of somebody with 50 years, 60 years of science. When we have a creator that created a beautiful world, the infinite wisdom of creation, and these people are trying to play God, no, they are having catastrophic challenges. But, you know, I think you brought up a good point. You said, why would somebody try and do this? Because obviously the people who are behind these programs are breathing the same air in. And again, not only are we finding massive amounts of these geoengineering products in rain and in soils around the world, it's also showing up in blood tests. Many people now are getting the blood tests, finding very high levels of aluminum, barium, and strontium, which are very destructive to our immune systems. As a result, we'll see a bunch of cancers and other illnesses come in. But, you know, again, we spoke about the mechanism, how controlling the weather, predicting the weather can be used to consolidate an enormous amount of both monetary and political power into the hands of a few. We went to Chicago, interviewed a broker. We found out that weather is actually traded on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. And as sick as that may sound, if you're a seed company and you have a major crop, say in the Midwest, you can purchase weather derivatives, essentially betting that there will be a drought in the Midwest. So if you have $10 million worth of crop, worth of seeds, you have the ability to create a drought in a certain area, and you can ensure for $20 million, there's an incentive for destroying that farmland. As a result, farmers go out of business, and then we see companies like one that recently purchased a lot of the flooded farmland. A number of farmers in the Midwest actually went under after the major flooding that we had just over a year ago. A company by George Soros purchased that land for pennies on the dollar. It's all linked into this Agenda 21. So again, we see, like in California, because these particulates adhere to the water vapor, they are not, California's rain literally gets sequestered. It moves over the continental divide, and then it has to dump somewhere. So you're seeing massive floods in the Midwest, and that's why we're getting them. It's a direct result of this geoengineering. But again, it's very profitable. So if you can predict weather, every commodity is driven by weather. So there are mechanisms to literally make billions of dollars annually if you have that sort of control. The technology is there. This is what's going on. So it's about, again, about a consolidation of an enormous amount of both monetary and political power into the hands of few at the expense of everything. But why would they do that? Because they're being affected by this as well. And I have a theory on that. And power is an addiction. There's no question about it. And being from Chicago and Los Angeles, we often see people, and I think many of us can relate to relatives or friends who've gotten addicted to a drug. And in that addiction, people will put their own health and their family members' health at risk in order to get that rush from the drug. How much greater of a rush is godlike power? And that's what we're seeing, an addiction to power, complete insanity, willing to die for that. That is exactly what we're seeing. Controlling the weather gives certain entities the ability to control everything, the entire planet.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the, if you can, the intentional deception about this. And, you know, there is a huge education gap for the common person, because this is very a good analogy. I think that's a great analogy of the drug addict, you know, that, the way it completely blinds you to everything else. And those are the profiteers. And then there's the rest of us who are trying to put it together, and there's all these things, you know, people who talk about it get labeled these things in mainstream, right? Oh, if you talk about a chemtrail, you're a conspiracy theorist, or you're whacked, you know, or you're making it up, or, you know, all these things that get attached to it. So for the common person to get educated is a real challenge, but I wonder if you can talk from that same level of the deception in the intentional deception in the propaganda that we might forgive ourselves, you know, for not knowing. We can perhaps hurdle this idea that we're supposed to know everything. You know, maybe we bought the propaganda in school that we were so smart that, you know, this would never happen to us because we know everything, right? And of course, we're being properly educated. You know, the systems don't lie to us. I mean, there's a big, huge propaganda block in there that I think maybe we could, can we address that in the intentional denial to help move through the forgiveness and say, whoa, we've been duped, and that sucks, but let's get on with it, you know?
Yeah, well, it's a process, you know, especially for people who have been rewarded by our educational system. This is very well documented. There have been a number of congressional hearings on geoengineering, but it's been very effectively demonized. If you use the word chemtrail, they've effectively painted this as some lunatic. The greatest threat to their programs is people waking up. So they're using a number of different tactics to try to get us not look into it. Our message is very simple. Look into this. Study it. The documentation is there. The testing is there, everything. We have a mountain of metal that is falling on us. That metal matches geoengineers' proposals exactly. It matches the number of geoengineering patterns exactly. And our sky, we're losing the direct sunlight hitting the Earth. That is, again, a direct goal of geoengineers. There are literally thousands of dots that connect. But, again, they're concerned that people are waking up. So we see geoengineers now starting to sell these programs. Now Bill Gates is actually funding geoengineering research. This is for public record. And they're using this supposed global warming so that they can get public so that they can get public support. And again, there are a number of agendas behind these programs, but they are, make no mistake about it, a very effective way to consolidate an enormous amount of monetary and political power into the hands of a few. So picture Bill Gates selling these programs to the public, saying, geoengineering, we're planning on starting. We actually started. And, you know, a number of you farmers are going to lose your crops because these programs destroy crops. A number of children will have ADD, eventually Alzheimer's, and get very sick. Barium lowers their immune system. So we're going to see a rise on cancer. So sorry, you guys. Oh, by the way, it's going to destroy our ozone layer, and it's going to be very destructive. But I'm going to have godlike power. Aren't you guys excited? I'm going to have a ton of power at your expense. Well, of course, nobody would support that. So they're coming in again with this fear campaign, stating that if they don't spray, everybody's going to die on the planet. So they're saying, you know, we're going to create a lot of damage, but there would be more damage if we don't spray. And that's how they get people to support these programs. So our goal is really to bring this to light, let people know what this is about, and encourage them to collectively stand with us, because there's no question this is the greatest threat that our planet has seen and will see. It is the end game of these entities. And we have, again, a huge responsibility, but a huge opportunity ahead of us. And we're moving closer every day, and I would encourage everybody to help support our work. Check out the trailer, whyintheworldarethespraying.com, and the DVD is ready for pre-order. And again, it's going to be premiering as well on August 18th, live stream, so you can find out more information again about our premiere at whyintheworldarethespraying.com. It's information that has to get out there. Again, there's no greater threat to our planet, and there's no greater solution than us. We are the solution. We need to get educated about it.
Thank you. And I want to ask you if there was recently a phenomena, and I think this is very important in the conversation of consciousness, and that the way that the public is deceived, as you suggested, you know, they're twisting things and introducing them, usually coveting the fear factor that most people live in. They do. We just have to be honest about them. A great deal of our human family is living in fear, and we can love them anyway, and still that's where we're at. So to just be real, that's where we're at, and that is how we get hooked into these things and how vulnerable we are. In a recent example, there was this storm system that passed through a couple of weeks ago, and it was given a name, a derecho. And it started in Chicago and ended in D.C., and it was reportedly this never-ending thunderstorm that passed through violently without warning, without anything. And in your experience of what you've learned with these technologies, would you say that this is a capacity of these weather modification technologies in your understanding?
Yeah, you know, I've spent a lot of time with former weatherman Scott Stevens, you know, discussing this. He's been studying this without question, the introducing these particulates, controlling our weather. Just a minor change in the jet stream, which can be done by HARP and other technologies, creates a huge weather pattern downstream. There was a change in the jet stream that Dr. Nick Begich spoke about in the next film, which is soon to be released. Just about a 20-mile variation in the jet stream in Alaska. The result of that was massive tornadoes down in Orlando, Florida, where it's very uncommon. So real minor, you know, small input in one area creates huge fluctuations in our systems when it throws it off balance. But then there are corporations that benefit. They're disaster capitalists. So when you have, like, tornadoes from Joplin, Missouri, and that tornado is torn up, then you have FEMA and other government contracted corporations that come in and clean up the mess. So again, it's a big shift in power. But it was interesting because if you look at the satellite imagery about 5 days before that storm, you can see the trailing aerosol campaign above the Pacific Ocean where all of that moisture came from. So they spray, and again, those particulates that here take the moisture out of one area and then they dump it in the other one. So no question about it. The weird weather that we're seeing is a direct result of geoengineering programs, no question about it. I've spoken to a number of scientists about specifically aerosols in our sky and asked every scientist that I spoke to at the aerosol research conference stated that geoengineering could be used to control and thus corporatize our weather. So, again, this is something that that I will continue to address for the rest of my life because I will not pass a planet that's controlled by these entities on the next generation. I will do what I can, and I know that millions are now standing with us to restore our Mother Earth. So it's a beautiful thing that's happening.
Absolutely. Thank you, because that really occurred to me, and that the retro was not only a fabrication and an artificially created storm system, but the way that it's working in the meme, the consciousness of the human, the way that it's introduced in, you know, all the mainstream news is saying, oh, well, we now suddenly have this new storm system. And that's the key. That's the key to really, you know, go, well, what is that? You know, this is a good opportunity where we can just so easily push back and simply by questioning, just simply by asking a question. And that makes a huge difference, and much more than we realize down the road. And, you know, when I first started noticing these in 1998, and I wasn't in company, I could talk openly, but I kept talking anyway. I just came with the ability to talk, and I kept asking people and kept asking people and kept asking people, and I didn't care the response. I just kept asking people, and then by and by, 10 years later, you know, I end up finding about other people who are concerned as well. I finally started seeing articles published. I started, and then your movie came eventually, and you know, it really mattered, even though I felt so alone and like I was, you know, the only one noticing and, you know, taking a hit for it. But I wasn't alone, ever. There were so many people all over the planet, and I felt so rewarded just by knowing that other people were there. Even though it took 10 years, it didn't matter. It was just like, yes, this does matter. This matters a lot. This is our Earth, and this is our sky, and this is not all right with me, and I care about it. You know, so we are on a roll. This, I feel like we have all of the cosmos behind us on more than one level. And yay, we are getting there. And so we're coming up close on the hour. I wanted to also do a plug for an event that is being put together that they're calling the largest stand ever against chemtrails. And it is an event in Los Angeles, August 17th through 19th. That is a place where you can see why in the world are they spraying debut. And also fantastic speakers, Michael himself being one of them. And so please do check that out. Their website is consciousnessbeyondchemtrails.com. I wanted to give a plug for that. And, well, we're coming down to our final time. Would you like to share with us any final notes or anything at this point?
Sure. Well, just a final note and one thing that we should have covered. Many of the scientists and the propagandists are stating that the weather that we are seeing that is due to climate change and or global warming. That is false, and the reason is this. For every degree that the planet heats up, we should expect 7% more rain. The planet is warming, but we are also seeing a major decline in rain. Most of the world now is in severe drought. That's how we know one of the major reasons that this is not due to global warming. This is due to weather control. It's due to the aerosols in our sky. They are there to test prove it. Please take a stand with us, folks. We need every human being, everybody that cares about the Earth, that loves your family. Again, get educated and play your role, you know, bring this message to work, talk to your neighbors about it. And again, the DVDs that I make are very effective tools for activists, and that's why I make them. The goal is to absolutely get these programs stopped, and I can guarantee you the next film will have a much greater impact. So, again, why in the world are they spraying.com? You can find more information. God bless you. And, Jamil, thanks for everything that you're doing. Continue it. Love your work. Love the fact that you're taking a stand for our Earth.
Bless your heart. Thank you. Then it's the love is right back to you. Right back to you. We are in this together. So what a pleasure. And it is getting better. It really is. So thank you so much for joining us, Michael J. Murphy. And the Alchemy of Light broadcast does continue now. We have a second hour. We will be going into the second hour and opening up for a citizens discussion. Please share with us your thoughts and feelings, opinions, experience, practice your voice, and share with us what you know or what you don't know, what you'd like to know. Have you noticed this phenomena? And please do share with us. So we will... I believe we're going to say goodbye to Michael at this point. Are you still there, Michael? Yeah, he's
still
gone.
Here.
Oh, you're still with us. Okay.
I'm still with you, but thanks again for everything. And we'll talk to you shortly after the release.
Okay, darling. Cheers. All right. So Michael is signing off, and bless his heart, gosh, and this great positive energy that we are the change. We can do this. So... we will take just a brief pause, and when we come back, I'm going to begin the second hour with a calm down, with a prayer, and I'm going to start that with a beautiful passage of music into light that my mother, Juliet Nightingale, composed, and she is now on the team of my friends in high places, really in all of our team of our friends in high places, because we have chosen to come here to planet Earth, I believe, in our human form, because we really want to restore the dignity of this planet. We really want to restore the right to life of all being, that the human itself has been manipulated and controlled into obstructing, and we can see that a lot more and more, and we are the solution. It's a really cool time because we can do something, and we will do something. So I'm going to take a step back. We're going to bring in the music, and it's a very brief passage, and then I want to offer just a breath and a prayer and a focus to bring in our gratitude and to bring in our acknowledgement for all the love and all the energy that has brought us here, all to this moment. And then we will open the discussion. Please visit the bbsradio.com station page. There are several call-in numbers where you can call in, and please... you can call now, actually. Go ahead and call now. We can start that and get that, you know, going on. Also, I've tried out the BBS Fast Chat on the chat boards, and I put a note up there. It's a little quirky, but it works. So if you prefer to write a note, please do, because we're going to work this out, and talking to each other is a really helpful thing. So please do join us in the discussion, and we will just take a few minutes to quiet down and collect our thoughts and let this come in, and then we'll bring on the conversation. Okay, so... Thank you. Thank you. I want to offer gratitude to all the beings that have gone before in human form and all the beings that surround us in many forms. And to all the powers that are surrounding us as the human makes a tremendous shift from the three, what we call a more earth material-based understanding to our true awakening of the multidimensional capacity of our human experience. And I want to thank all the entities and spirit and various manifestations. They are manifested in many forms, humans and butterflies and dogs and horses. Many, many, many beings have chosen to come here to assist us all as we move into our true multidimensional reality of what the human is. And in this awakening, this is a very important part of how we find our power and how we know that chemtrails, that the nuclear warheads, that all these things that scare us into submission, scare us into giving up our own voices, are simply not real, because we are divine. We are divine beings. We are divine beings that are part of the cosmos themselves, and we have chosen to be human. We cannot be killed. We cannot. We are eternal beings, and the more we move into our multidimensional understanding of who we really are, of who we really came to be, of the gifts that we have to share, the more automatic it is that we simply do that. And it doesn't cost anything. We don't have to do anything but be ourselves. And it's a process. And that is why we're here, in my opinion. And so I want to thank all of the beings that have come here and are with us, and give a special call out to my special mom, Juliet Nightingale, who brought me here to this place. And I want to also thank the amazing people here in Boston who have been providing for me a tremendous opportunity to join the human family and really understand that the humans can love each other, and me too. So that is the prayer I'd like to offer. And so let's discuss this phenomena. Let's discuss that. Now, who are the brave people out there? Is anybody going to call? I've been wondering and thinking about this. And okay, so the phone numbers, I'll go ahead and give them to you, are 530-327-7602. That's one of the phone numbers. Okay, and what will happen if we get to this, and we can all chat about the chemtrail phenomena. This was the vision that I had, that people would be calling and saying, hey, in my town, you know, like today we have the chemtrails. We've had a massive chemtrail, what do you call that? I mean, it literally feels like an attack to me, because the chemtrails, they come over, they make this massive, funky cloud, and it's funky looking to me because I know it's not natural, because it doesn't feel natural, and also because they don't look like real clouds. The way they look is kind of like a striped marble pattern. They're always linear. The way that the chemtrails come in, there's always straight lines identified in their patterns. And when they're really thick, like they were yesterday, today we have the white screen. You can see the white screen, not a blue sky. It's a white screen. But yesterday, when they were the attack was really intense, the sky was really heavy, and it was when the parting in the sky would happen a little, you could always see more trails coming. You can see these straight lines coming. And that's the only part we can see. That's not the part that is being used in the ether, in what we'll call the invisible realms, the HARP projects. And what the HARP is, basically, is a tool that takes massive amounts of electricity, shoots it up into the atmosphere and using computers, technology drives this massive amount of energy to another location and then brings it down onto the planet. In this process, it literally moves the ionosphere and creates this air pocket that Michael mentioned. And I highly recommend watching his movie, What in the World Are They Spraying, on my blog, alchemyoflife.org. It is one of the very top posts. You'll find it there. Because educating ourselves is really the best antidote for fear. And talking to each other really brings it home. Because there's nothing like knowing you're not alone in this. There's just nothing like it. So give a call. So, okay, here's another number. All right, 530-413-4522. That's another number. And then there's another one, 530-413-5011. And you can also reach us on Skype BBS Radio. So if you prefer to type a note, please do type a note. Or can try out this BBS fast chat. I put myself up there to see what would happen if that might be working. Don't know. I never tried it. So give a call. Give a chat. Give a message. What do you experience about the chemtrails in your area? Have you noticed any particular anomalies in your weather system here in New England? We're definitely in drought. We've had very little rain. The ground is so dry and leaves are falling. And, you know, have you noticed anything in your area about that in the weather? And even if you want to just share about things that you've enjoyed about watching the sky, I mean, we can start the conversation there too, because that's how I came into it. I love watching the sky. I love being a part of nature. I know we're all parts of nature. We're all on a certain level, you might say, we're all little flowers. You know, we are all part of this amazing creation. So being out and taking in the earth and being with the trees and feeling the breeze and watching the sky has always been a joy for me. It's always been a place that I have found great comfort and great pleasure. And just, the messages of my friends in high places come in vast quantity when I'm outside. So if you'd like to just share your story of your love of being outside and what it has been to be with the clouds. Because something else that I've learned about working with the chemtrails and my own fears that have come up, and I've gone through so many incredible emotions around this, intense emotions of fear, of rage, of disgust, of just completely abandon any rationality. I have been so surprised at, or maybe not, I mean, we all have our moods, right? But I have been really surprised at the way that these chemtrails have succeeded in unleashing me, derailing me from my center and throwing me into this abyss of yucky, negative, fear, ugly. Oh my God, they're going to get us. Oh my God, they're so powerful. Oh my God, they're just all these horrible things that have really stolen my joy. They have taken my joy, and I have taken it back and said, wait a minute. But this has been a process. This has been a real learning process. And, you know, I'm good today, but it's been 12 years of wrestling and learning and doing this with myself, with learning about myself and how I deal with these incredible emotions, which is not something anybody can do for you. That is something that you can only do for yourself. But when we work together, when we talk about it with each other, when we share with each other, that can definitely help a lot. Because then I learned, that's how I did it. I listened to people and I learned, you know, when you get mad, you can do this. And when you are sad, you can do that. And I tried these little things. So that really helps. This is one of the ways that we really help each other. We really help each other when we share our own stories of how we manage this phenomena. Because there is something so ominous about the way that the psychological component of these chemtrails work. And there is a body of thought out there that there are extraterrestrial races that are working to neutralize some of these effects. And I'm not sure that's not entirely true. But the bottom line is that they are happening for us to learn about our power. This is how I finally came to make sense of it. If that, this is might be for you too. If they are on your nerve, they have hit your consciousness, it raises a level of concern that is causing you to reach out, seek answers, then it is in yours too to reach out and seek out. Nobody is here to save us. We as humans are ethically and morally responsible for our behavior here. And our species is the perpetrator of this violence against this planet. Now we get into the question of, well, who is responsible? The one who gives the orders or the one who follows the orders? And the bottom line is they're both responsible. You know, we're all responsible. And those of us who know that we can do better, we are responsible for doing that, simply doing better for what we can offer. That's all we have to do is our part. And the people who are flying these jets and the people who are working the heart machines, the people that are manufacturing the chemicals, the people who are dispersing them into these planes, the people who are doing all that, they might not even be aware of what the whole picture is that they're doing. Because this is a very common tactic in the arsenal of deception that has been used and is actively used against humanity. There is a, in my opinion, an extraterrestrial-based they, all right? There is a component of this whole drama that we have chosen to be a part of that is not Earth-based. There is a much bigger picture. And as we wake up our multidimensional capacity and become more comfortable with our soul beings and begin living more true to our soul and access more of the soul panorama that is available to us as we are able to receive this information, this extraterrestrial component will become much more accessible and also fits a piece of the puzzle we simply can't understand fully. And it's okay that we don't understand fully. We don't have to understand it all intellectually. It's not an intellectual test here. We don't have to understand it intellectually. We just have to understand in our heart our part. What is our part in this phenomena, in raising our voice and calling out, hey, that is not the way the sky should look. The sky is not blue today. The sky has this funky white film over it. I have picked up many leaves off the backyard because they all just spontaneously fell down after this really dense, strange, whatever that was, cloud in the sky yesterday. And I want to know about that. I have a right to know about that. I have a right to be told the truth about that because every single living being that is dependent on a tree, every single living being that is dependent on air is being affected by this. This is not just humans that are affecting humans. This is the human behavior that is affecting all life as we know it here. And we can do something to at least find out what the heck it is. And we aren't going to find out necessarily watching the news, you know? We're going to have to talk to each other. We're going to have to listen to people like Michael and all these amazing people who are putting together really informationally dense and honest ethical productions of what is going on in another perspective. And it is it's our great gift as a human to be able to listen to other ideas. This is part of the human special gift of our mind, of our ability to take in new information and learn about new ways of thinking and learn new ways of doing. And that is a big part of what makes us human. So again, those numbers, there is an 888-627-6008. That's for all U.S. and Canada. Again, 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. There's another number. Okay, so please give a call. Let us know what you think. Have you noticed anything extraordinary in the sky in your house, in your area? Have you noticed anything extraordinary in the sky, period? Has there been anything else unusual besides just the chemtrails? Like, have you noticed the light changing in the morning? Or have you noticed any of the... any change in the bird migrations in your area? Have you noticed any changes in storm severity? Have you noticed anything in your natural environment that seems different this year in the last 2 years? Have you noticed anything? Would you like to share? Another phone number is 530-327-7602. And another phone number, 530-413-4522. Again, these numbers are all on the VBSradio.com webpage on the Studio Live Station 1. They are right there under my picture. You can see them, and also the little chat box is there where I am paying attention to the little chat box. So I know that it can be a little unnerving to call and talk on the radio, but that's okay. So we'll just be patient and welcome you all to call and share what's going on in your environment. Have you noticed anything different? And staying on point with the chemtrail conversation, something another point of it that I think is really very important is part of what I call reclaiming our mind. You know, reclaiming our mind from the propaganda, from the saturation of media hype. You know, for instance, we have something going on, the way that certain Earth events are promoted and the wrapping of fear. For instance, today there was a coronal mass ejection, a substantial one, and actually there was one on Thursday. It was a big one, and for whatever reason, Fox News and the major channels decided that they wanted to, you know, go after this one. And, well, there have been several of these coronal mass ejections. If you educate yourself and follow the coronal mass ejection phenomena in watching the sun, you realize that this has been increasing. The activity of the sun has been increasing, in particular since August of last year. And so the more you educate yourself, the less vulnerable you are to the fear that is often wrapped in the announcements of our time, whatever they are, in the Earth-related stories. Oh, the coronal mass ejection, it's going to knock out the grid and all this stuff. Well, it just might one day. That is a true story. I'm not actually the one to speak to that in the technical sense, but from what I've learned, that is definitely a very real possibility. But the way it's presented to us is more emotionally sensationalized. It is less educational. It inspires our critical thinking much less than the simple exploration of, wow, we live in the universe. We live on planet Earth. Our Earth is one planet in this multiverse, and we are part of this solar system, and we are affected by all the planets and all the energy that is happening within the cosmos is a part of us, because we are a little flower on planet Earth, and everything that happens in the cosmos affects us. It has to, because we are part of it. It is us. We are it. It is us. It is not separated, which is another great part of our multidimensional awakening, is that we realize that we are all connected, and not just all humans, but all life. every single life form throughout the multiverse is intimately connected, interdependent. We are all part of the same life dance. As we awaken multidimensionally, we begin to feel that. You know, we are less dependent on the way we've been using our intellect as our guiding post, as our complete understanding. We move away from that because it's simply just, it's not complete the way we use our intellect now. And the way we will use our intellect as we develop our multidimensional awareness will be very, very different than the way we have been using it now. And that's great. It's great. I mean, you know, I know there's a lot of resistance to change on the planet, but, you know, that is the one constant. So resisting the change is, you know, an option, but there could also be another option, and that would be to confront ourselves and what it is that we're afraid of, and really work with making peace with that and how we can move forward based on our fear of change. Because, you know, that is not, the change isn't going to stop because you don't want it. That's just not going to happen. It's I didn't write the book. It's not, you know, I'm just sharing the obvious here. So again, well, the toll-free number is 888-627-6008. That's for all U.S. and Canada. So please give it a try. 888-627-6008. And please give us a call and share with us what have you noticed in your sky? What have you noticed in your natural environment? Or even in your heart, that's part of your natural environment. Please just give us a call and share your thoughts with us. What have you been experiencing lately? What has caught your attention? And what do you think we can do for bringing all of our voices as one and reclaiming the dignity of our planet? You know, just even if you want to just share with us your overwhelm and your fear about, you know, the massive oppression of these programs. It's really oppressive to look in the sky. I mean, how could it get more oppressive than that on certain levels to, I mean, as a psychological tool to invoke fear, the chemtrails have it down, all right? To have the entire sky covered with this mass of yuck is a very oppressive, scary thing. You know, it's very oppressive, and it looks like it's going to sink on you. And it is sinking on us. It really is sinking on us. See, that's the thing. It actually is sinking on us, and it really is doing damage to the health of all life, including our lungs and our immune system. It's a slow kill component, meaning that it will compromise the weakest parts, and it's doing a very good job here, taking out trees and all kinds of things. But the important thing to remember, this is me, you know, talking to me now, sharing with you, is that I always remember this is just one experience. And ultimately, we will reclaim this planet because some of us know full well that's what we came here for and nothing else. And this will be restored in the dignity that all life deserves. And it is up to each and every human being to find that passion for life, that gratitude for life, that excitement for life, and to raise their own flag, if you will, their own voice, their own joy, that they've been gifted this opportunity this time to come here. And maybe the chemtrails aren't the thing that get, you know, that get in your radar like they certainly have done in mine. But what is something that you see that you would like to be a part of improving or making better, more fun? You know, surely there are a lot of things, and there are so many interesting, you know, dialogues. There's always the dialogues of conflict and, you know, the big bad this and the big bad that. But What about the great and the good and the sacred that we can do? You know, we can do so much. So we can, at any moment, break the spell of this oppression by simply doing what we can to just make it anything just a little bit easier, if it's not for ourselves, for somebody else. Something so simple as an act of kindness, opening a door for somebody. You know how good that feels, just to do a little nice thing for somebody. And those are things in our power every day. So maybe the chemtrails is too much. We can't do the chemtrails right now, but we can do something to remember that we can do something, because we can. Okay, so the phone number, the toll-free phone number here is 888-627-6008. That is in U.S. and Canada. And the phone number, if you're out of the country, then you can call us direct at 530-327-7602. And on Skype, you can reach us as well at BBS Radio. Okay? BBS Radio on Skype. And you can go to the page and go to BBS Fast Chat and check out the chat. And, you know, say anything. Say something that makes you happy. Say, you know, have you been doing activism in your town? Have you noticed people mentioning anything about the chemtrails in your region? Have you noticed people raising concern, or have you, you know, heard anything that you'd like to share in your region? So give us a call. Let us know. This is the citizens' discussion, and I know that so far I'm the only one talking, but this is, you know, I believe that putting this into the ether matters. Even if I'm the only one talking to just me and the wind, even if there's one person or not, it is going into the ether, and it is being gifted to the universe that we are paying attention. We are not sleepwalking humans that find these behaviors acceptable at all. We care. We care. And that is why I am creating this opportunity for a citizens' discussion. And I will keep doing this, and there will be people calling at some point. I just know it, because we must come together. And maybe I'm not the one you want to talk to. Maybe that's fine, but talk to somebody, you know, talk to somebody, find somebody to just mention your concern, find one person, because speaking from what I experienced in America, you know, America is a very, very lonely place. You know, people have really become very isolated here in their busyness. People are so busy, and they are so alone acting in their business. They, you know, have a very small body of friends, and the conversations are limited to, you know, usually related to busyness. And this creates loneliness. This creates a profound loneliness. And, you know, it also is very accommodating for the darker agendas that would like to keep us believing we're separate and that we're not part of the universe, and that, you know, all we are is little bipods that have come here to be slaves, you know, to slave away our lives for the almighty dollar. And even though nobody has enough money anymore, you know, I mean, have you noticed that? Anyway, it's because the monetary system is part of the slave matrix that we are simply outgrowing. But the idea of us coming together is foreign here in America. You know, American people in general, if you took a you know, just a general look at our history here, there hasn't been a movement of real cohesion, you know. There's the Civil War, right, when the blacks got together and the whites got together, and then there was a few that brought the whole thing together. We've made progress on that. But the nation has not come together. We have not come together in a single voice here in America. And it doesn't mean that we're going to find something that we all agree on. But what's interesting to me about that is that, you know, America is a really, really, really young country. And Americans have been part, in my opinion, of one of the greatest, one of the most sophisticated mind control programs of anybody on the planet. This is a great hotbed mind control experiment going on here, and it's very effective. It has created a great deal of disconnected, lonely, isolationist people who, you know, believe that they need guns and these things. And that's all reminiscent of youth to me, you know, of just simply finding your voice and finding your balance and finding, you know, your way to feel safe and be a part of the whole. So I have developed a new love for the process going on here, but I also feel a great deal of concern for, you know, how America is going to rise to these challenges with its limited emotional vocabulary. And one of the ways that we can enhance our emotional vocabulary is simply by practicing relating to people. And by doing that, we come across our own prejudice and our own intolerance and our own judgmental tendencies. And we have an opportunity to learn about that in ourselves. And that is the key to developing our own emotional well-being. And the more we can become emotionally mature, the better we will be able to be effective and a part of a positive shift here in this country, because things are definitely coming to a head. You know, the chemtrails are a huge call out of the intention of the governments to thoroughly oppress the people, but it's also as much a huge sign of just how incredibly asleep people are here still, but they are waking up. And I don't say that in a critical tone, because I see people waking up, but I say that in a concerned tone for the reality that we are all in this together. And so we can wake up gently and help each other in, you know, we can help each other in and make it nicer, because it's very uncomfortable to realize that you've been lied to. It's really painful to confront all of your belief systems, and I mean all of them, that have told you who you are and what you are and what you can be and what you can't be, and you know that you believed all that. We believed that, right? We believed that the people were telling us the truth, and perhaps a lot of the people telling us these lies believed it too. And thank them, you know, because it's all for the learning. There's nothing wrong here. There's absolutely nothing wrong. It's absolutely perfect. There's no other way it could be. And the only thing we can effectively work toward co-creating is how we're going to take on our next great evolutionary process, which involves us becoming much, much more who we really are in our multidimensional capacity, much, much more tuned to what we really want to do when we get up in the morning, you know? So that will give us a lot more opportunity to fully engage our dreams, you know, and in fully engaging our dreams, we first have to know what they are. And that's the process that we're in now. The system's breaking down, forcing us to reflect and really look at how we've been living our lives and if it's been working. And if it has not been working, what part of it is my part? You know, it's not about them. Nobody made us do anything. It's about us. It's about our relationship to ourselves and about our relationship to each other. So we can do everything about that. And the chemtrails are reminding us that there is something we need to be paying attention to outside of ourselves. This is another thing that has been created so incredibly well here in America, which is just an incredible selfishness. Selfishness, that the the energy is so focused on taking care of me, the rugged individualism here has permeated the psyche incredibly. And that is to say that people don't care about anybody but themselves, not at all. I mean, the American people are not a callous group for the most part, but it's built into our culture that we are supposed to be able to do everything all by ourselves, that we don't need anybody to do anything, and that first and foremost, we take care of number one, right? Well, we're not encouraged to take care of anybody else ever in the indoctrination that we receive. We're not encouraged to take on our responsibility as a responsible citizenry. We're not properly educated about our legal system. We're not properly educated about basic things like community service and, you know, getting to know your neighbors. We're not properly educated about what the responsibility is that we have to being aware of what laws are being passed. We're not educated about the implications of those things. These things are left out of our what they call education, what I call indoctrination, because indoctrination is a form of mind control. It is a form of creating a system of absolutes. It is a binary. It tells you what to do, when to do, how to do it, and don't ever get out of it because you're, you know, not going to like it. The educational system actually does the opposite. An educational system enhances critical thinking. It enhances curiosity. It enhances one's ability to explore new ideas. It's an open source forum that allows the individual to find more answers. It's not a binary system that tells you everything you're supposed to know and doesn't tell you the whole picture on top of that, which is what an indoctrination is. An indoctrination is a multidimensional focus that all those written, unwritten rules, you know, all those things, those messages, like, you know, you're supposed to grow up and, you know, make babies and get houses and all that stuff. You know, that's all part of the multidimensional indoctrination. Maybe you are just not inclined to do that trip, you know, but you have your choices to make. All right, folks, we are getting down to the last bit of our time. We had just a short amount of time left, and I would really love to welcome at least one person, one brave person, maybe two. So the U.S. and Canada toll-free number is 888-627-6008. The Skype is BBS Radio, line 1-530-327-7602. And if you're by your computer, you can go on to the BBS chat, BBS Fast Chat, and share with us anything at all. Anything at all. So, what do you think? What do you think? Surely you think you are an important thinking person. Well, all right, good people. Well, you know, whoever's out there, I'm glad you joined us anyway. And the phone number again is 888-627-6008. That's U.S. and Canada toll-free. And 530-327-6008. 7602. That's line one. And the BBS radio is the Skype address. So there you go. And I hope to hear from you. To just say hello. Has any of this made any sense to you? Do you feel inspired? Do you feel confused? Do you feel overwhelmed? Have you noticed anything in the sky? Have you thought about that? Is this the first time you thought about that? Have you just not been sure what to do about that? That happens a lot. You know, where to go, who to talk to. You know, are you in an environment? Are there people around you that would be interested in talking about that? Would a movie, you know, help that? There are a lot of resources that, you know, can be acquired now and shared with other people that you might find are interested and concerned about that. But I think that, you know, the most important, well, one of, I mean, no, it's important to really just employ forgiveness at this point. Forgive ourselves for not knowing a lot of things that we weren't told. Forgive ourselves for whatever our part has been. And, you know, on that note, you know, we can also create space in our lives for people who are likewise coming to terms with their parts. Maybe they're the ones who have been flying these planes. Maybe they are the ones who have been manufacturing the chemicals. Maybe they are the ones that have had their amazing ideas usurped and manipulated and then poured into these programs, because this happens all the time. You know, our higher education systems are really good at recruiting our greatest minds and taking their minds, focusing them in a particular direction, and then taking whatever the fruit of that work is and applying it in a technology that is actually harmful, and they didn't even know it. And one of the examples is, of course, the nuclear bomb. And there were several people who worked on that that had no idea that their physics genius was being used to create such a heinous war toy. So this happens throughout our society. So another place that we can work to allow forgiveness and healing and openness to a new way of doing and being and listening to each other, really listening and really making space in our lives, is to create a space for somebody to change, somebody to be different in our presence. And this is a really tricky one, because so often we get used to the way people are, and, you know, we want them to stay like that because that's how we found comfort, and that can sometimes really limit the path that we share with people, because as we all evolve as individuals, then either those around us are open and forgiving and welcome us in our new way of being, or we simply have to move on. And that's okay too. It's sometimes just appropriate to move on because everybody has, you know, a special thing to share with each other, but it's not always necessary, you know, to be with them for, you know, forever, but to have more of an open reality about the fact that we all change, and to consciously make space in our hearts for the ones we love the most to change, and to change with us, and to allow ourselves to then change with them, because change is in. Change is in, folks. We are going to do this, and that's not my book. That's just reporting from what is apparently speeding up at this point. Okay, so now I'm really at the last couple of minutes. And bless your heart, anybody who's hung in for this whole 2-hour gig. This has been the first 2-hour show of the Alchemy of Light broadcast. This is a very exciting time of birthing this fantastic opportunity, the continuation of the birthing, the process of birthing, this ethical media production, as you know, I move Alchemy of Light to a higher octave, to be of a greater service to all at this time. So I will be sharing more in the next couple of weeks, the next couple of months. The Summer of Gratitude is the launching period. It's the period where I'll be trying out lots of different thoughts and ideas, see what works, see what doesn't, you know, so your feedback and comments are always welcome. So if you didn't feel like calling today, maybe send me an email, dg@slavetosovereignbeing.com, and let me know. You know, it's all welcome. So the next 3 months, July, August, and September, we'll be doing the 2-hour broadcast and having a lot of fun sharing with y'all what the Muse has offered. And so, okay, folks, this is the last call. This will be the last call for your opportunity. I will read these numbers one more time for our last 5 minutes. If you would like to be our last 5 minutes, you can. Okay, you can. So here is the toll-free number in U.S. and Canada, 888-627-6008. And in line 1, 530-327-7602. And the Skype address is PBS Radio. So you have 5 minutes. This is it, the 5-minute countdown of the first 2-hour Alchemy of Light broadcast. You can be our closing voice. What an honor. You could come on and say anything. We're really exploring the chemtrails. And want to thank again Michael J. Murphy for taking time to come and share with us his great enthusiasm and fantastic work in exploring the chemtrail phenomena. His two movies, the What in the World Are They Spraying? And the newly released Why in the World Are They Spraying? That will be debuting in August. At the largest stand ever against chemtrails at the consciousnessbeyondchemtrails.com website. You can find out more information about that event taking place in August that will be debuting the Why in the World Are They Spraying movie. And so, all right, then my website is alchemyoflight.org. It is a blog site. I am in the process of rebuilding the website toward thelight.org that is focused on the enhanced human experience, focused on the multidimensional capacity awakening in the human. This is the website that I inherited from my beloved mom, Juliette Nightingale, taking the torch after she transitioned from her body. And I am so grateful for this opportunity, and that construction is well underway. And I know better than to give the Muse any deadlines, because it never works. But it's very, very, very close. So I will look forward to bringing all that to you here in this Summer of Gratitude. So I think I will wrap it up now. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for visiting. Thank you for being a part of life. And I look forward to meeting you on the ether or wherever we might be destined to cross paths. So do take good care of yourselves and take good care of each other. And we will see you in a fortnight on July the 28th. And I wish you all the best. And look up and speak out. All right. Bye-bye for now.